Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let us roll. Let's run.
Oh, I'm glad you're running.
Let's record a running podcast.
Oh, it's a great idea.
You talk and I'll talk. We'll call it running commentary. We'll do it once a week till the end of time. we'll never miss a week. Never. No.
That's what keeps everyone joyful.
Yeah, because one week, they will miss a week and then we'll tell them about it.
And then we'll die.
Hi, morning.
Morning.
Today,
morning.
It has gone from...
It's gone a bit nips.
It was a beautiful sunny day about an hour ago, and now it's cold and windy.
Yes.
And it's before, we've met quite sharp on a Tuesday morning, and yet, I've had the day.
Already?
I've got quite a lot on anyway.
There's a lot going on with you, isn't
there? And the kids were, everyone needed stuff, and there was various travel things. My wife went out and then came back because there were no trains.
Right.
Went out to get a train, came back to get a bike.
What is there a train strike?
It wasn't a big deal for me, but I had to. Oh, I don't know why there's no trains. In fact, that was a later conversation when my daughter said to me, "So there are no trains," and I was like, "I don't know."
Yeah,
Not. This is not my department. I'm busy.
I'm not the train man.
And, anyway, so finally got everyone out safe and sound, and I thought I'd quickly load the dishwasher. I smashed a pint glass.
Ooh,
how much glass is that?
Yeah, lot.
Basically, even
lots
to this
on.
Day,
splintered.
My kitchen,
yeah,
it's just like a box of glass. You know, like when you go in a ball pit at soft play, it's like that, only with glass.
Yes,
That's what I've been doing. And so that was, hands and knees, hoover out.
Yeah.
Have you ever hoovered inside a dishwasher?
Nope.
Yes, it doesn't work.
Nope. Yeah.
And then just finishing that, thinking, right, I'll get the PPs together. We can do these brilliant PPs on the weekend. My daughter phones, lost my zip card.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
Well, there's no trains anyway. What, no trains? Anyway, went out and gave her a lift to school because she doesn't go to the school around the corner anymore.
No,
it was,
she insists on a higher education.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
And then I came back. And then I came to, frankly...
You've had a day
I've
already.
Had a full day. I'm ready for bed. It's just
and
gone
it's 10. And it's only 10 o'clock.
It's only 10 o'clock. And as we'll become clear in the wider scheme of things, that's really against a backdrop of a fairly full-on week anyway. But there we are. How's your running?
It's been going all right. I did a 2-hour run over the moors on Saturday.
Brilliant.
But it left me pretty stiff, has to be said. It's the longest I've run for a while.
You loved it, yeah?
Yeah, but I was
beautiful. I misunderstood.
Yeah. It left me pretty hard. I just stood there for a while, all hard on the moors.
It blew my hair right
back. Yeah. It was a lovely run. I just love running on the moors like that. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's extremely hilly.
Yes.
And it just, left me with a bit of muscle tightness. So this is the first run since then. But it was beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I was going to... I didn't get to parkrun on Saturday.
Right.
But I was kind of... I was 50-50 on it anyway.
Right.
Well, kind of 48-52.
Yeah.
Because I was a tapering, you know, and I just thought, maybe I don't need to. I wanted it to be a 25-mile week, and I'd done my 22.
Right.
And even though it wasn't the day before a marathon, I still just had that conversation we'd had about parkrun before marathons ringing in my head. It's like, just remember, sometimes you don't have to, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, that was all moot.
And there's loads going on, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got a message first thing Saturday morning to say my mum, from my mum, to say I'm in hospital. So I've been there. So my mum's in hospital. She's all right. She's not well. And we don't know for sure. But she's had her appendix out. So right. that was the headline news. And and I'm currently, you know, just commuting up to
liaising,
where she
panicking,
is
and concerned,
checking in with her and variously looking after things.
Right.
But also, and it's, you know, I keep thinking, maybe I should cancel something. But at the moment, I'm just keeping up with everything.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, work is work, right? We're freelancers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting stuff going on it goes. And running and exercise, if you don't do those,
it helps, yeah.
Yeah, your mental health goes out the window.
Yeah.
I went for a long run yesterday.
Right.
Which I really, really had to squeeze it in time-wise. But, oh, so good. Last long run before.
Right.
London, obviously.
When you say long, you mean?
It was the best part of 9 miles.
Right, okay.
And that's, I won't.
Which is enough. That's enough for week
before. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's Monday. This is Tuesday. We'll probably do, what, 5?
Yeah.
And then maybe another 3 in a day or two, and then I'll be.
Then you're ready.
I'll be there, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't want to be a fool about, you know, I'll cancel anything. I can always not do a comedy gig or not run the London Marathon.
Yeah.
If, you know, family emergency dictates. But on the other hand, at the moment, rattling around doing stuff is quite good. But the funny thing is, you know, and actually I've done all right today, but it is that thing where you take yourself close to the line, you know. When I smashed that pint glass, I reckon smashed the pint glass on Sunday, I probably would have just gone, nope, and just walked out into the sea.
Yeah. Or just knelt on the glass and stayed there.
Yeah,
it's
I wash my face in it.
It's one of those things where you're under stress. You've got a stressful event coming. You need to look after yourself a little bit the next few days.
Right.
So that it, to the extent that you can, you know.
Exactly. I mean, I at the moment, I'm completely, entirely cognizant of how my mental preparation for the London Marathon is not ideal at all. You know, I say to everyone, reduce stress, you know, work hard at it, get enough sleep, empty your diary. Like you were saying about, once again, talking about, here we go, everyone's doing all the gardening here. Hey guys, busy, it's about a dozen people.
Yeah.
Some serious parked and walked gardening.
Pruning.
Picture them behind us, there they are. One of the things you said last week about when we were discussing parkrun day before the marathon is just the level of stress is too strong a word. It's not all the words we use for this stuff are negative. Stress, anxiety, pressure, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's more complicated than that because they're not necessarily bad things.
No.
It's just stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of excitement, really.
Exactly.
I mean, it's stuff happening. Something's going to happen
that
you're
prepared
for.
Anticipation. Yeah, and being having stuff happen to you, you know, just responding.
Yeah.
Doing.
Yeah.
It's takes it out of you.
Yeah.
And I think it gets to something really fundamental with marathons and it doesn't matter with events. You know, when you want to push yourself in a long run, whether it's 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, ultra, the ultimate issue is about stripping away all that which does not serve.
Yeah.
And if you don't work towards it, then when your body starts doing it, it's going to take you by surprise.
Yes, yeah.
So, I'm, on the one hand, pretty much entirely ready for Sunday's London Marathon. And then, on the other hand, just thinking, I've got to get my head around this thing. I sat down at the weekend and read the guide and how the start works and looked at the map and you know, I made the effort and it was quite calming.
Yes.
And I was also on the DLR because I was gigging in Greenwich at the weekend.
Yeah.
So I was really in a kind of London Marathon-y space. I've just forgotten that all now. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to do that again in a couple of days.
So there's an element of, not to pry, we won't go into too much detail, but there's an element of uncertainty about your mum. It's not just the appendix out.
Exactly.
Right, okay. Well, that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it brings up loads of stuff, of course, about everything. So it's big. It's huge, isn't it?
When people are in hospital, it's always that thing, this is what's going to happen next, and it'll probably happen at this point. But, you know, you just end up waiting around for things to happen that can only happen when they happen. Yeah. And that's just seeing a consultant or having a procedure. Things like getting out of when will we be leaving hospital, it's just there's kind of waiting. And on the one hand, I think that my mum's really good, by the way. She's very good patient, very kind of, she's not on the same page as us. She's like, so what's happening next? And I think difficult for her as an older lady in the hospital. I think that she runs the risk of being patronised and talked down to or not talked to properly.
Yes.
And yet there's other people there who kind of play that role.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean that as a criticism. I think that there's just other people on her ward who just like, I'm in a medical situation, I'm not well. I'll just abrogate and just be like, you know, just be childlike in this.
Be helpless.
You know, I'll lie in bed and go, oh, and everyone can sort it all out around me, which is a pretty valid way of doing things. But that is not. So my mum said, give me the information. And I'm like, what's happening? And saying, any information can we talk about?
Well, the funny place is hospitals, aren't they? Because on one level, obviously.
Funny in a certain way.
Well, no, on one level, you are being cared for.
Yeah.
But on the other, it's just quite stressful being in there.
Yeah. So, mind you, absolutely. Just need to say this. This is kind of like a Facebook post that I haven't got around to yet, which is, you know, so much pressure on the NHS at the moment. Just in a blooming throttle hold. And just amazing the treatment my mum had at the weekend.
Yeah.
It just couldn't have been better, from the personal tone to the actual events. You know, instant paramedics, ambulance,
amazing
hospitals, scans, and all with a light touch, you know, good people saying, doing excellent work at A&E. Just what an incredible place. Kudos.
Anyway. So that's a kind of lingering stress, isn't it? Just a constant.
Going on,
yeah.
So, and also, this is really, I feel so narcissistic, so selfish. But if we're talking about where I'm at from a psychological point of view, that all happened against something really minor.
Yeah.
That happened last week. And it's still sort of bubbling under. One of my dearest, oldest friends got married last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, a massive coterie of my dearest, oldest friends were there.
Right.
I didn't know that was happening. I wasn't invited. No one told me.
Oh.
And,
oh dear.
So just as a little kind of grace note counterpoint to all this actual drama in my life is every time I look at social networks, because these people are my best friends.
Right.
It's just a constant flow of pictures of people at a party that I wasn't invited to.
So what happened? What happened there then?
No idea.
Loss of contact, weirdness, had you had any rows, had you?
I literally don't know, but I almost don't want to ask because I've always thought that I'm paranoid and insecure, but you know me.
I'm not
really paranoid or insecure. I'm quite confident, quite relaxed. But I've long thought that my old friends don't like me.
Right.
So it might be time to just let it go.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I could start to pull it apart, but really, what does it matter?
Yeah.
If they don't, they don't. It doesn't make for good friending.
No, no. But it's still, what with everything else as well? It's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I
went. If there was nothing else going on, you might give it a bit more than you're giving it, but at the same time, it's sort of.
What does it matter?
Yeah.
When the beginning of last week, when you came back, I was like, yeah, this is good, life is good, but then the thing swings, you know?
Yeah.
And here we are. Anyway, another thing is, I feel like I want to do. I, can't, feel guilty running the London Marathon and not doing it for charity. It just seems like wasted time.
Right.
But I also think that I don't want to wear people out with various fundraisers. And even if
you've got another
it's
one
not just attention, but the fundraising for sarcoma in memory of Phil was just great. You know, everyone was so generous. And that's fine. That's done. I'd love to just leave that to rest. But I said months ago that I'd do the Brecon Beacons for Velindra Cancer Centre, which is in South Wales, which is
where Rod Gilbert.
Rod Gilbert's done loads of fundraising for them, and then latterly has used their care, unfortunately, in the last year or two when he's been dealing with cancer himself.
Yeah.
So,
and he looks to have recovered.
Yeah, he's doing great at the moment. Yeah. Touch wood.
Brilliant.
That's really nice. But basically, I was thinking, what do I do about this? I've got a lot on anyway. And then it was in the news yesterday that the Brecon Beacons are now officially known by their Welsh name, Banau Briceniog.
Okay.
So it's the TEC Banau Briceniog.
Right.
So I saw that and I thought, that's fate.
Yeah.
So I launched my Just Giving page yesterday, and we'll see.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I couldn't really face doing the London Marathon without something in the tank, reason-wise. And it's interesting, we talk all the time about running different gears and finding different things. It's also interesting how you can have different shapes and levels of the why.
Yes, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm never going to have, and I don't want to have, the level of quest
that
I had for Dad and the Race of the Stones.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I didn't feel incredibly positive and like I was still part of that marathon alchemy doing that run for Phil for sarcoma in Brighton, because this is what city marathons are for.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
take your sad stories and you turn them into something wonderful.
Did you see the absolute quagmire they made of Finsbury Park with the Tough Mudder?
No. Oh, you know, I didn't, but when we were driving through the other day, I said, oh, look, that guy's back for a run. And my wife said, he looks...
Yeah.
It's quite muddy. Well, so that's what that was it?
Well, they're basically... let's go this way.
Okay.
They've absolutely decimated the park.
Yes.
Tough Mudder event. I mean, it's gone so badly that even Haringey Council said, we can never do this again.
And we know Haringey Council, that they're pretty relaxed.
Yeah, they're anything for a bit of wedge. They've completely trashed it. I mean, there's pictures in social media.
I haven't, have
a look. It looks absolute carnage.
Yeah, we should be there for
Let's hope it recovers. We'll go there in a, you know, post-London and see to what extent it's recovered.
Sounds like it'll be bad enough that we can leave it a couple of weeks and still see the evidence.
It does seem like that. I mean, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Nature heals and all that, but
because
I deliberately drench parts of the course with water to create that mud.
To create mud.
To make it the Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's like mother, but it's also like mudder.
I must say,
it's a double meaning. It's a great bit of wordplay. Well, it's a terrible bit of wordplay.
I must say, instinctively sort of. I'm going to say, I feel quite dismissive about those events.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They feel so performatively macho or...
Yeah, well, I would say...
I don't know. I just can't be arsed with them.
I think there's nothing there for us.
Yeah.
It's the old thing.
But it feels a bit sort of old-fashioned or something.
Yeah, I agree. I was just going to say it's two things, isn't it? Because one, it's just there's nothing in our nature that makes us want to reframe running to make it exciting. That always, we're going in the opposite direction.
It's exciting enough.
Exactly. But on the other hand, like you say, the sense of it being, I don't know, it's like a kind of 1980s TV show, isn't it?
Smashed it!
It's like Duncan Dares.
Yeah.
So as such, it doesn't really square with the...
Shimmy up the wall and slide down the thingy and crawl in the... Smashed it!
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Go for a run and have a sandwich.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And also running...
Each to his own.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is you can go... It does seem to encourage someone to go and do that and say, see, I did a Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
And then they're better than you.
Yeah.
Not having that.
Yeah, I suppose anyone who sort of wants to shout out about how tough they are, I find a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because most runners we know really tough tend to be the most gentle of souls.
That's right. That's
like
right.
Your Lee McIntyre's or your whoever it is.
Camille Heron,
that very gentle
people
who are possessed of massive determination.
Yeah, that's right.
Concealed within a just a softly spoken exterior.
Yeah.
Then I'm going, I'm tough, Camille. No. With my 48-hour record, I'm tough, I'm a tough.
I keep like, going back to this
smashed it.
Thing I saw recently, which was the American guy who'd, I'm sure I've quoted this before, who'd been meditating with the toughest monks. Yes, sitting cross-legged for 12 hours. The toughest meditation I've ever
done. Tough-ass mofo monks.
You definitely didn't get it.
Yeah.
Even if it was 48 hours, if you come back going, such tough meditation.
We were so quiet.
Yeah, it's just weird, isn't it?
You sat so still. Yeah. Found complete inner peace. Really strong, muscular inner peace.
Listen, everyone does their own thing, but
yeah, exactly.
That's patently not mine.
No.
A shout out, actually, while we're going for the run, to a fan who saw me at quite an odd but good fun solo comedy show in Beverly.
Yes.
Last Thursday. It was one of those where I very rarely do solo shows.
Right.
And my manager says, do you fancy doing it? And I said, yeah, why not?
Do you do guitar solos at your set?
Yeah, beauty, yeah. Beauty, beauty. A lot of air guitar.
This one's called...
So I ended
Sub
up doing... I ended up doing just straight... I did about 70 minutes.
Hey, listen, in you go.
Look. Oh, yeah, Tough Mudder.
Tough Mudder!
Tough Mudder!
Tough Mudder! Just lie down and roll
around.
Because
I'm a tough son of a bitch. I love the mud.
Gonna get in the mud, meditate.
Get in the mud. Put my face in the mud. Squibble all around.
Hippo.
Yeah. I got mud on my knees.
But if you enjoyed it and you had a good time, good luck to you.
No, that's good. No judgment. No judgment.
You're tough.
So I did a one-man show.
You're in Beverly.
In Beverly.
Because I'm tough. I can do a one-man show. There's only one man needed for a show.
No other comedians. No audience.
And I did 70 minutes straight through because I'm a tough motherfucker.
And 70 minutes with, it has to be said, a fair bit of padding. But good fun, though. We got through it and it was fine.
And, what's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah. Times 20. No, it became more of a kind of... sort of confessional. It was one of those that just got funnier and funnier around how sort of slightly wafer thin it was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it,
exactly.
But by
that
the
is,
end,
but it, that is one
it
of
was
the
really good
things
fun.
About any kind of tour show or solo shows that you have to go further into you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it was great. And a guy came up who's a big fan of the show.
Yeah,
he's got possibly the perfect name for a running commentary fan.
Oh yeah.
Paul Deering.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Paul Deering.
Lovely. Yeah, it's so like Rob Tonkinson.
Yeah.
He was involved in the early days.
Yeah, he was... so it was really nice to bump into him.
Oh, look. Absolutely.
Yeah, look, we can do this.
Because we're tough. We can sprint to get the red lights.
Boop, 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 boop.
Not that we're scared
right,
of...
Tra- up.
Not that we're scared of traffic anyway, because we're tough.
Yeah. I run near a car.
We're getting a lot of mileage out of the tough mothers.
Yeah, good.
Oh, let's walk up here, because we're not that tough.
Like a hippo.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that was good fun. That was nice.
It sounds great. No, talking of Paul Deere and I. That's okay.
Sorry, mate.
And I totally did want to bring out the PBs. I got a message this morning from someone messaging specifically to say, my husband... did a 2:56 marathon.
Ooh.
Enough time.
Nice.
All of this
well
next
done.
Week. But I will say, I think...
Gavin did a big old run, didn't
oh,
he?
Oh, yeah, he did a late
our friend of the show, Gav Poyser.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
And loads
40
of,
miler, yeah.
Well, again, this is the lovely
yeah, there's
thing.
A lot going on.
So many different stories and so much speed in Manchester.
Yeah.
But all different events.
Yeah.
Newport in South Wales Marathon at the weekend. Boston Marathon. Gavin's
brilliant.
Thing. I think it might have been 50 miles here. Right. Certainly... tens of miles across the mountains.
Yes.
And aforementioned Liam McIntyre is out there again.
Right.
Next week, Chris Murphy is doing the London Marathon dressed as a little blue elephant.
I was thinking, nice.
I had a great little train of thought where I thought, I hope I see all the people who did the marathon, like whoever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I saw when I was in Brighton, I kept seeing Patrick, never saw Nicola.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Just keeping an eye out for these people we know are out there somewhere. And I thought, in that frame of thinking, I thought, oh, I hope I see Chris from out there.
Yeah.
And I suddenly remembered that he's doing it dressed in a giant blue elephant head.
Yeah, you might see
so
him. You
I,
might
if
notice
if I'm
it.
Near him,
you will notice it.
I reckon
it.
I can pick him out.
Yeah. I noticed as well that friend of the show, Ivo, Yes.
He's doing it as well. He gave my book a nice shout out on the, yeah, on the radio at the weekend, but he's looking for quite a swift one, old Ivor.
Yeah, well, he did. He basically did 3:10 by accident, didn't he?
Right.
Extraordinarily tight.
Just got out of bed and did 3:10 while reading the classics.
It's so funny. It's so... And
he's so natural, isn't he?
I have to approve, really, that there is this cultural thing that when you're successful and posh, the best way to be is genuinely apologetic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get this from Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
But you get it from Ivo. You get it from Hugh Grant. You're like, yeah, I couldn't help myself. I won.
He was effortlessly great filling in for Ellis James on the radio the other day.
Yeah.
He's just so erudite and funny and eloquent and exercise and aerobic and running.
Yeah, and tall. Don't
and tall. And
good looking.
Yeah, the guy's great.
Yeah.
Good for him. And
all right, why don't you do a podcast with him?
Well, you already did, mate, didn't you? In my absence. So yeah. Good luck to old Ivor.
That was a good day.
Good
that
luck
was
to
the
him.
Best.
Yeah.
I was being a tough mudder somewhere else. I was a tough mudder in it.
Too tough to be anywhere else. I was alone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Not to be mean, but it's quite... It takes a bit of work to ruin Finsbury Park.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's not the most... You know, I mean, I love Finsbury Park, but it knows what it is.
Yeah. It's a functional urban space.
Yeah, the fair there is pretty... always pretty frightening. The festivals there are never too...
They have the wireless festival,
that's
which
the most
is a pretty foot-heavy...
I've ever seen.
Yes,
it's
yeah.
All these
and they're not making balloon animals.
No, and every last one of them waving the balloon thing in. Yeah. These grown-ups think we've blown up balloons. Like, you know that we have basic working knowledge of life.
Yeah.
So it's quite, in a way, it is an achievement for the tough mudder to...
Well,
because they're tough. Of course we can ruin parks. We're tough mudders. Shimmy up the thing and get a rope and pull yourself up and slide down like a tough mudder. On your hands and knees.
Back in the day, that was in the culture, wasn't it? About, I mean, a long time ago now, about 40 years ago.
About what?
The whole idea of kind of... training, whether you're going into the army, going into the police.
Yes, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It was a trope in Officer and a Gentleman, Police Academy.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels titles.
Yeah.
Everything. And
the
again,
montage
TV,
sequences.
You know,
yeah.
You're blooming children's TV shows.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Kickstart, they had motorbikes, so that's slightly different, but the basic principle.
Superstars
is the same,
on telly,
isn't it?
Yeah, sort of like
Superstars,
yeah, obstacles.
World's Strongest Man.
Yeah.
It's pretty old school.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have arranged for me and you to
tough
to move a lorry with our teeth just later on. Do you know why we're going to do that?
No problem.
Because we're tough mudders. We'll pull it with the teeth. I'll pull it with my nose.
Tough.
Look at these. These are nice. I don't know what they are.
That's a really tough thing, isn't it? Noticing the flowers.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. Tough guy. Might noticing be... the snowdrops.
Might be wild garlic. I got tough knowledge of woodland blooms.
Woodland Blooms is a top young actor, actually.
Oh, yeah. It was cast completely by accident.
Managed
in
to
this new American indie, where I play a poor Mexican guy living in Los
Managed
Angeles.
Managed to do a 252 marathon on the way to set. Yeah. Guess I'm just a tough mudder. I
we should get
really
Woodland Blooms on the show.
Yeah. But Ivo was being...
What made you think of him, Paul?
Ivo
what made you think of him?
Was being slightly, I don't know about his public self, but he was being a little bit like, oh, I'm going to get near or there about 3 hours, but I probably won't make it, kind of sowing the seeds for his, for not making it.
His success and failure.
Yeah, a little bit.
A bit like Elon Musk's spaceship.
Yeah, it'll probably blow up.
Oh, yeah.
Do it then.
Yeah.
Might make it, might not.
But it's a... Yeah, drama guaranteed at the weekend.
Yeah. Great. I'm really looking for more drama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
And how are your gigs at the weekend?
Yeah, good. Really nice.
Any solo shows I need to hear about?
Actually, one of the things you need to hear about is I'm off to McCunkleth, where I will be doing a solo show.
Nice.
And indeed my game show.
Awesome.
So it's a full-on offer.
Yeah, that'd be
and
great.
And it's slightly disappointing, really. I blame myself, but I always go to McCunkleth and do an hour.
Yeah.
Generally, it's like in a work-in-progress slot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to the Edinburgh Festival.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, I ain't got much.
Yeah.
And I'll pull together some bits and bobs. But it's really nice. We have a good time.
Yeah.
But this year, I thought, well, this year is going to be more polished. We're talking... Next stage, I want to do a show with a shape and purpose.
Right.
It might have things in it that they've seen before, but they've got really good now, you know?
Good, cool.
And, yeah, great. But I'm not there because I need to sit down with that, don't I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When am I going to sit down? Anyway, I'm doing a show called Long Distance Man, and I'm finding a moment to write on a scrap of paper about it for about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Once every couple of months. So I think it's going to be perfect.
It's pretty intense, isn't it?
Yeah,
pretty intense working
heavy
schedule you've got there.
It's great that McCunkleth Comedy Festival.
I was saying that the other
day. I was there with Ivor last year.
Oh, yeah.
We were running.
Yeah, I bet
up
you
and down were. Hills.
Yes, yes.
For charity.
So how's it going with Paul?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's working perfectly fine. Effortlessly running. All right, mate.
Oh, yeah, let that guy go through so we can avoid the mud. You're weak! Weak!
Yeah, the... It's funny that you writing 10 minutes a day every couple of weeks. I noticed that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is closing in on the third year of a £20 million a year deal with Amazon to create original content. Hasn't created any yet. Quite a good deal, isn't it, if you can get it? She's done well, hasn't she?
Bless her. She's been busy making the new Indiana Jones.
I know,
writing the next James Bond.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
Yeah,
and, but she's coined it with the Amazon.
Yeah.
She's done really well with that mob.
Yeah, it's kind of working on a little bit of... Ching! Ching!
Just give me a bit more money and I'll have a think.
Another
it's like
10 million.
Of films where you bribe the doorman. He says, I don't remember. You give him another $20. Yeah. It's all coming back to
yeah. I'm getting some kind of clue.
Look at this. They're just the first green leaves popping out. We're right in the moment where it goes from being seeing all the sky and looking wintry to just being completely green.
Well,
they're not real leaves. It's like a green mist.
Well, yesterday was a real kind of... It was quite sunny, wasn't it?
It was
well, at times over the weekend, we had some lovely weather, actually.
Yeah, last couple of days have been really gorgeous. Yeah. And it's funny, it's been a little bit, not to get about it, but it's a bit, I was laughing a bit at pathetic fallacy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's out in the country. It's out in the country as it got dark on Sunday night. And, you know, on the one hand, I was so tired and I so wanted to just come home. But on the other hand, it's like, it's still light in the sky.
Yeah.
I saw my first bat of the year.
Nice.
In the country and you get out of a building or
a
car.
Yeah, yeah,
it just smells nice.
Yeah.
I remembered...
It is nice, yeah.
Growing up out there, I remember writing a a song inspired by that. In fact, I wrote the first verse of it, and then
I've seen said,
have some money, have some money, have some money. Yeah, yeah. The rest.
I can go over that.
Yeah. I saw a bat. How about that?
Oh wow! There you go. There's 10 million. Get back to us next year if you fancy it. If you can be bothered.
I just wanted to give the full I Get Wood character.
Oh yes.
Because when Paul's saying, I saw a bat, how about that? Whilst running, I think it needs to be noted, that old guy was looking, having a good look at us.
Yeah.
So I gave him a big smile.
Nothing.
And he kind of shook his head and looked away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You apparently misbehaved just then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't go running here singing your bat song. That has apparently been
Lovely people.
I thought it was great.
Lovely people.
In fact, if you want to hear the worked up
the full version,
loop pedal cover
version, stick 10 million in my account and I'll get back to you in a couple of years. Oh, please don't take this as having a go at Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Fleabag was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it arose organically from a theatre show, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it might be quite difficult to replicate something that brilliant.
You've got to, no criticism for her, it's the system. But there was a sense, there's a lie that the system tells itself. It's like, we just discovered her at the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but she was Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yes.
Someone described it as a riches to riches story.
Yes,
which is fair. But again, literally, you know, this could lead to all kinds of like sort of trouble in both directions.
No, good luck to her.
We would never criticise any individual.
No.
It's the system we're mocking. Because your Ivos and Phoebe's are fantastic.
I love rich people getting given even more money. I like that as a system.
Anything you're going
to I love that.
You're kind of playing against...
So we I think, if anything, she's underpaid for her content. To produce absolutely nothing for 60 million over 3 years, she needs more.
Yeah, yeah. It's only 8 figures. Hey, listen, as well as Beverly, didn't you go to Stourbridge?
Yes, I went and did the lovely gig that you'd been into recently.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sort of shed there, in the quite sort of odd little space.
It's like a back room of a pub that isn't really open as a pub.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's very... But that's the whole point, isn't it?
It felt like doing a gig in the sort of era of Prohibition or something.
But it's for... That's because it's all for comedy. It's like, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Which is great, in a way.
Brilliant crowd.
Particularly for us.
Really good fun. One of those where he says before you go on, will you do an encore? And so you think, they obviously give encores, and then you go, and then you get an encore. And however sort of codified it is that you're going to get an encore, it's still nice to get an encore.
Yeah,
because you don't get many encores nowadays.
No, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? So I'll happily take that encore. Yeah, it was a lovely gig, actually. Yeah.
Straight across?
Yeah, should we go there? Yeah, straight across, of course, yeah.
Morning, Magpie.
So you were up the creek, were you?
I was. It was very nice to, generally, to get on the DLR and go to Greenwich, just sat on it reading the marathon thing. And the gig, and they're lovely up the creek. It's a really nice gig.
Yes, yeah.
It's very, loads of people there. Really young.
Yeah.
Really. In fact, I had a couple of nice things last week where I felt like I was hanging out with much younger people, but we were on the same page up the creek on Friday. And on Wednesday, did a really good, really difficult pub quiz.
Right.
And there were a few oldsters there, a few of the kind of people I would feel like pub quiz cliches, old tables of... old people you feel, older people I should say,
right,
who you feel are there every week.
Yeah.
But actually the lion's share of the people there seem really young. They seem like sort of late 20s.
Right.
But still just totally...
Just cool.
Playing the pub quiz game, you know?
Just chilling out, yeah.
I always think that, I think maybe we passed through the generation, maybe they're all in their 30s now, who would go, why on earth would I look away from my phone when I could just Google it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is valid.
Yes. Yeah.
And it makes it harder to play with information in that way. But anyway, the guy running the quiz was really young, and it was a great pub quiz.
Where was
that?
Can't
wait to go back. It was at the Lonsborough in Stokey.
Right, yeah.
And, really good. It was in the holidays, and my daughter said, can I have some friends over? We'll go out. And
I remember you chatting about that.
Is less, he's welcome because he's not a parent.
Right.
But on the other hand, he likes a pub quiz. He hasn't actually been to one since he's been old enough to go in a pub.
Yeah.
So, and we found this one just around the corner, a pub we really like anyway. Anyway, the reason I mentioned all that is we wanted to give Daisy and her friends enough time to have a good time, hassled.
Yeah.
So we went to the pub early and stayed late.
Right.
Just hammered.
Really?
Yeah, really. Too much booze.
Funny.
Bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't get messy.
Yeah.
I was in control of myself.
Right, do you know what? I'm going to have to go back there. Sorry.
He got he's a not bit tough enough.
You're not tough enough.
Just go now.
Just go now. Just went. Now he's gone.
Mix it with the mud.
Mix it with the mud. Smear it on your face.
When I fell over, do you remember when we went up around the canal the other week?
Yeah.
And I fell over and I was covered in.
He fell over. I fell over. Hello, over. I fell over. Fall over. Do you fall over?
You fall over.
Paul Chowdhury.
Yeah.
The someone said, is that, you sure that's mud? And a picture of my hands covered right in this brown stuff. Yeah. The funny thing I found about that is, look at the background. If I say the brown stuff goes on forever.
Yeah.
I hope it's mud, otherwise this is a pig farm.
Oh, it's mud. You were alluded before the show to some kind of professional chicanery.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you about that now.
Which I was trying to,
no, I really enjoyed it. You've been feeding me back towards it. I'll get there. what a giveaway. It's almost like there's a plan. There's never a plan.
Well, no, it wasn't a plan. I mean, but
plan is strong. Hey, before we get to that, this is, I'm really teasing him now.
Yeah.
Should we go back through the woods or just down the road and pick
it's
up?
It's completely up to you, mate.
Okay.
It's completely how far you want to run before the the marathon.
Well, how far is it? If we go straight back.
If we go straight back, it'll be about 4.5. It's all about the same, really. Yeah, let's go the easy way for you, because I want you to.
Don't call it the easy way.
Okay.
I'm tough.
Yeah.
I'm a hippo.
I refuse to go the easy way.
Covered in mud.
Look, wait, here's a tough thing. Look.
Tough mother. Stretching his hamstrings on the sand. Like a tough mother. Yeah, come on, stretch him. Tough mother.
Oh, no, didn't get it.
All right, okay.
Put it back, because you can do it again.
I can do it again if I won't.
We're going to get soaked. We're really losing our tough mother demographic.
It's nice to find another voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because means we won't be offending the
the
Irish listeners.
I know that.
You had to stop doing the Irish accent. Yeah. And he lost the
banned
Irish listenership.
So go on then. So you were circling.
Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, lovely crowds.
Yeah.
At
Up the Creek. One of the best comedy clubs in
really South excellent.
Place. Yes.
And brilliant how it always has been, and yet it feels very fresh and new.
And different constantly.
It's very kind of YouTube-y.
Constantly,
when you go in there, you see YouTube stars.
Constantly.
Either in the audience or on stage.
Yeah, constantly recreating itself, isn't it?
Yeah. And as I say, like the pub quiz, just absolutely full of youngsters. Sprinkling of people older and even as old as us.
Yeah.
But mainly, you know, grown-ups, of course.
Yeah.
But a generation younger than us.
Yes.
And just lovely to meet them in that way.
Yeah.
Because it all works. Anyway.
I always like to high-five the younger generation to show I'm on the same length. Wave
the compere,
high-five,
said on the Friday night.
Yeah.
We're running a bit late, running about 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
So I was closing.
Right.
I'll just bring you straight on. And
they never do they?
No, he did.
All right, okay.
He did exactly that.
Right.
It was all right. The gig seemed to be going well. They liked him. It was all sort of ticking over, quite low key. And then, he didn't really do a joke for me. Everyone sat down. He said, here's your headline.
Right.
We're running late. Here's your headline act. He brought me
right
on.
Right, okay, cool.
Anyway, the next night, the compere said in the dressing room. Next night, the gig, by the way.
Same person, yeah.
Yeah, same person. Couple of different acts.
Yeah.
And similar audience, are much bigger. And quite a lot more loose and chatty and kind of tasty as a result.
Right, okay, cool.
And the compere said in the dressing room, yeah, we're running a bit late, so I'll probably just bring you straight on. And the guy who runs the gig said,
actually,
no, we're not. We're ahead of time. We've got loads of time. We're running about 15 minutes further ahead than we usually do. Compere didn't really respond.
Perhaps you'd like to do your job.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd invite you at this moment to do what you've been paid for.
And he went all the way, that was the guy who's in charge of the gig.
Yeah.
Saying, no, go on, do some stuff, go for it. Compere kind of ignored that.
Yeah.
But he said to me, so I'll bring you on pretty quick, is that all right? And I said, Yeah, just make sure everyone's listening. As you do, it's like a turn of phrase.
Yeah.
But I said it.
Yeah.
I meant it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, as I say, the promoter went quite a lot further.
Yeah.
And I realised that the day before his running late was, if anything, was any resource at all was based on an email. It was no one in charge of him saying so he needed to crack on.
So maybe, is he one of those compares who does loads at the top when it's easier?
No.
And then towards the end of the show when you actually need a compare,
no, I think he's one
just
of those
rushes it through.
Who doesn't do much at all.
Right, okay. Because they haven't got much.
Anyway, yeah. I'd say this audience was big and loose. And frankly, there'd been quite a lot of comparing, I would argue, as a result of the compare.
Right.
Not doing much comparing.
Right, okay.
So it was really good for the gig, for example, that Kevin McCarthy was in the middle.
Who's essentially a compare.
He's a compare. He just compared for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the first act had kind of given up on his set after 12, 15 minutes and started talking to this very, very chatty stag do.
Right.
So really, there was...
Yeah.
The concept of teeing them up to... It's like the diametric opposite of your solo show. The concept of teeing them up for 20 minutes of Deering's...
So all the acts are essentially doing what the compare should be doing, which
there
is
you go,
chatting Jimmy's to the crowd.
And honestly, he just went on and said, well, we're running pretty to a room of people who were not listening to him.
Yeah.
And kind of filing in from the bar, pushing past each other to get to their seats, you know, because they're like, oh, it's starting.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we're running pretty late, so I'm going to bring him straight on as well.
Wow.
So I had to compare at the beginning of my set. And the guy who runs, it was good, really, because the gig was fine anyway, and it was much less focused than the night before.
Yeah.
But just as much fun. Everyone enjoyed the jokes. And also... I enjoyed it anyway, but the key thing is that my boss at the gig came up afterwards and was like, well, I don't know what he was planning out, but you were good.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny when people in our job are lazy. Because
it
is not a heavy, long hours job, is it?
No, but it's an intense job, so any laziness becomes magnified, doesn't it? I mean, that's a real abdication of responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. And also in the face of someone saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
The person's job it is to say, no, you have to do this.
No, that's essentially...
Actually said it.
That's essentially saying, I haven't got the material or wherewithal to do the stage time for which I've been hired.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like saying, I can't do this.
I can't do
this job. That's bad, man.
Yeah. I thought you'd appreciate my discomfort.
It's a point, because normally what annoys me with compares is the guys who do
much too long.
Loads at the start, and then loads at the start of the second half, which is the easiest place, and really drill it, drill that.
Then
if you're closing the show and there's been two intervals, do very little before you.
Yeah.
When it's really difficult to refocus a room.
Yeah, it should be more
those
like
guys.
A taper on, shouldn't it? It should be a good solid bit. At the top.
10, 5 and 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and the second bit, you have to be funny and get everyone in, but you're cracking on.
Yeah.
The thing is, we can be moaning about it, but what me and Paul have is a massive list in our heads of all the people who are good at this.
Yes.
It's generally good comparing is prevalent.
It's a real skill, totally.
So you really notice it when people aren't doing it.
And also, mostly when compers say, I'll get you straight on, they normally do at least... Between 5 and 10 anyway.
Yeah,
they just do.
They'll do a joke.
Yeah.
Do a joke? For goodness sake. Or rather, a bit. I mean,
a joke. Yeah.
So there we are. Came around online the other day, a little kind of, I don't know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook video, saying this is when Tony Slattery genuinely got sacked off Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right.
They were playing Party Quirks. You remember Party Quirks?
No, go on.
It's an improv game.
Yeah.
Got all these people coming in. And they've got to... They do something at the party and he's the host.
Yeah.
And he has to guess what they're doing.
Right, okay,
so
cool.
Mike
nice
McShane
idea.
Wanting to... Who's in love with cameras. So he's going straight down the camera going, oh, you're a beauty. You got a zoom lens on there, haven't you?
Right, nice,
and then, Ryan Stiles was playing Animals Crossing the Road.
Yeah.
And the other guy was All the Seven Dwarves.
Yeah.
They did their little bits.
Yeah.
It's really funny and really good. And also kind of clear. And playing the game, you make it clear and clear and give bigger and bigger clues.
Right, yeah.
And Tony Slattery was just going, don't know. No, I can't get it.
Right.
No, I don't know. Just tell me.
Right.
So that is not... how you play this game.
What? So he was being intentionally obstructive?
He just wasn't trying.
Right, okay.
He wasn't intentional.
Right.
But it was just hilarious. You just see the whole thing kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
Because of one of the comedians
not
involved.
Playing. Yeah.
Not doing, not keeping their end of the deal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that that bears any relation to the story I just told about the compere. Not much.
I mean, Tony Slattery, this is quite an old reference, but he was incredible, wasn't he, for a while in the mid-80s?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was the man.
I mean,
they gave him,
yeah.
They gave him everything. Yeah. And it was obviously a bit much for him, bless him.
Yeah, he's quite a bit of it.
You know, and he had problems with it. And it was,
well, I think in the recent years, people have talked about people getting famous very quickly, people being kind of given fame,
yeah,
and how difficult that can be. It's very recent, and still ultimately not universal, the sense that that might be tough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think in a way it starts with Love Island, the sense that you can pluck someone from complete
obscurity. The jade goodies of this world.
And kind of stick them in the world, and everyone goes, you're terrible, you're brilliant, here's loads of money.
Yeah.
And you know, of course it's a lot.
My son's working on Married at First Sight at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is just reality TV show. He's quite horrified by how sort of manipulative and borderline cruel the process is.
Yeah.
The production process. He was saying he was on set the other day. There was a fight. There was a dispute between two characters.
Yeah.
And the characters go to the producer.
The very fact that you're calling them characters is interesting.
Yeah, but they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got a problem with this guy. I want to have it out with him. They say, fine. But obviously it can't descend into violence.
Yeah.
But, you know, they stoke it up.
Yep.
And he goes around, knocks on the door, the guy opens the door and just grabs him by the throat and pushes him against a wall.
Wow.
You know, and it's just like, they're thinking, this is going to be great content, because it's all about conflict,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Right.
But that's...
And I think... That
won't make telly, you know.
And I think in TV, people do forget that these people are real people.
Yeah, they absolutely do, of course. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You know, I don't think the Jeremy Kyle lessons have been learned.
No.
In a way, there was an honesty to that. I'm not saying it should still be honour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't like it. You know, it was awful. But it was quite clear what was happening, at least.
Yes. Yeah. But he's finding it a little bit tricksy.
I tell you what, it's a little bit weird, a little bit scary for me that I'm doing another marathon on Sunday and we're not really at the what's it going to be like stage.
Yeah.
But it just reminds me of something that I wanted to say to all the people who've done events recently. It was amazing how many of our high-achieving runners said, oh, this is really bad, or the wheels came off, or it was really tough at this point.
But I still got a PB.
And I got a good, great time, but I'll do it better next time. I really want to say, I get it, you know, I respect if you don't feel like you did what you wanted to do or you didn't enjoy it or whatever. I respect that. I'm not going to say, no, it was great. It's not as simple as that. But I will say, remember, it's a bit like stuff I was saying about Brighton before. It was always going to be hard.
Yeah.
If it wasn't hard like that, it would have been hard a different way. There's no kind of shortcut to get where you got to and have it all be lovely.
No.
That's
no.
the whole point.
No.
So I really think that a couple of people need to let themselves off. I think if you complete the event and get a time that is good for you, and I mean for you, like, because obviously there's all different stories. If you get, basically, if you achieve what you set out to do on paper, but it didn't feel like you thought it was going to feel, then that's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because part of that is the trick, is the deal you made with yourself to
there was a bit
get
of,
out there and do it. You know?
There was only because I read one guy lambasting themselves for. Although they've still got a PB.
Yeah.
It's like...
That's what I mean. It's like...
Guys!
What did you think it was going to be like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do think... I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think you ever said anything like that when you got your sub 3. But there's a sense that... It's not a joyful thing.
No. It's it can be afterwards. And
yeah.
It can be, but it's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are you feeling then? I mean, we've only got a few minutes left today, but how are you feeling... Pre-London, it feels, I mean, it's partly, obviously it's not an afterthought, because...
So you don't play football anymore, but you've still got the skills, that's incredible.
Yeah. Because you're doing a, that was a snot jab.
Tough mudder, with a bit of mucus.
Expertly executed. And because you've got a, because you did Brighton.
Yeah.
But it, and it's,
And you always saw it as a pair of marathons.
That's right, absolutely.
So how are you feeling
and
about this?
Both training runs for Brecon.
Yes, yeah.
For Banau Brecheniog.
Yeah.
And I still feel like that. And in fact, it helps me in my current wibbly wobbly life.
Yeah.
That what I want to do in London is run it as much like Brighton as possible. And by the way, I don't think of that as being an easy task in the slightest.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, it's a really strong template.
Yeah.
And it's based on real experiences, not just from a couple of weeks ago, but from doing London before.
Right.
So it's going to be a mid-speed broadcast marathon. And
do you feel fairly fresh? Do you feel you've got freshness in your legs?
Yes, I went for a run, this long run yesterday. I thought I'm going to run like 10 miles and do my hill reps. And I ran out there and I just thought, yep, I'm fine. I did three hill reps. I thought, yeah, start tapering now. You need to get home. So it was 8 3/4 miles and 3, not 5 hill reps. Because I know that I can't build any more muscle strength now.
No, you're in a holding pattern. Yes.
Just psychological. I just needed to remind myself I could do it.
Yeah.
And I have, there's a fair amount of shonk.
Yeah.
My knees still feel a little bit spongy in the left knee since Brighton.
Right.
And I might investigate tape at the expo. Because that's what happened with Robin from Noise Next Door.
Right.
He said, I've got a bad knee. I don't know if it's paranoia. I might wear a knee support for London, for Brighton.
Yeah.
And I said, don't wear a knee support. Because it'll throw your gait. I mean, I'm about to share advice I gave, but I always ignore my advice. I don't know anything. But anyway, I said, for me, I think your knee support is going to throw your gait off.
Right.
So you'll end up hurting somewhere else.
Yeah.
And B, it's going to chafe.
Yeah.
It's just going to rub your knee to smithereens.
Yeah, you're not used
to. And he said, okay, I've been using tape. I'll tape it up. It's like, tape's good. So I might take my own advice there.
Right.
And see about a bit of tape just to lightly support my left knee.
Right.
And then my left foot still hurts all the time from that Litchfield injury. Haven't injury.
Yeah.
And then on my right foot, I've got what I think is a verruca. Sore all the time. But they're totally external.
Right.
I'm really going to worry about them once I've done the runs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
because you know what? You're a tough man.
I'm tough man.
I'm a tough man.
If I have to, I'll gnaw my own feet off.
Okay, I'll chop them off and just limp on through. I lost my leg at 10K. It didn't stop me for a second.
So we'll see. I mean, I literally, it's 5 days away. And in my life, I don't know what's going to happen.
That's a long way away.
5 days,
yes.
Exactly. But I want to do it. I'm looking forward to it. And I have a plan. And even, you know, it's quite nice of me to think about squeezing in my exercises and thinking quietly about my when I'm going to eat, what I'm going to eat, stuff like that. So at the moment, I suppose I feel pretty good. I don't even know if we're going to record, but I might see you later this week and hopefully we'll be, chat. You know, I mean, there's a long time from Tuesday to Thursday in a week like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And short term, if all I have to do is get my head around it, there is time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're physically there. It's just,
We'll see though. I've got the New York's at the back of my mind and that was that was bad. So we'll see. Hey, look, let's do this final picture. Let's look down and get this beautiful... It's like if you do a low shot, you've got Blossom behind
tough
us.
Madam,
it's
tough Blossom.
Madam Blossom. We ain't looking at the flowers, we're looking away.
With Paul Tompkinson and Rob Deering.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.